Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's an old saying, Tommy.
What's that, buddy?
If you've worn it once, you can never wear it again.
Mm.
Don't try and dress like a trendy kid. Update your style. Look like a grown-ass man.
Yeah, grow into your clothes.
And this sucks for some guys because we can be loyal to our clothing.
Yeah.
T-shirts, hoodies, underwear.
But they get raggedy.
They do. Doesn't mean they're not comfortable.
And now your body you can call changes. Them vintage.
But your body changes.
Okay.
Okay, that's fair.
Someone in this room has a theory.
What's that?
That there is a vintage piece of clothing that grown-ass people can get away with wearing.
That holds up.
But she says it's only this one.
Oh.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF. We'll jump right into it. With Foreigner getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2 weeks ago, something has happened.
Mm.
New attention has them selling more music
and
more merchandise.
Mm.
Folks are buying both vintage and reprint Foreigner t-shirts, hats, etc. Stuff that a lot of people in the greater Rochester area still have hanging in their closets that they first got in the 70s and 80s. And that sucks. Because wearing vintage clothing in your 40s, 50s, and 60s makes you look kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's not vintage. You might look homeless.
And what's it? Who's this for? Who are you trying to impress?
Okay. But someone in this room disagrees with that statement.
Well, I was thinking if there is a piece of clothing that you can wear the rest of your life, it's a band t-shirt. It's a band t-shirt. I will also add old sports.
Let's start with the band t-shirt.
So you're saying the vintage shirt that has the tour dates on the back.
Like if you went to that concert, back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and you want to keep wearing that shirt, you go for it.
60s. That would be
But it's still a cool shirt. The older it is, the cooler the shirt.
Nah. Did they sell tour t-shirts in the 60s?
Like, that stuff didn't even show up until the 70s.
You don't think they...
252 WCMF. Does anybody own a
tour
t-shirt?
It's more
a vintage from the Beatles' original tour.
Maybe not a tour t-shirt, but they didn't have band t-shirts.
I don't think they did merchandise.
Okay. Well, either way.
Okay.
I'm going to say, especially the older that shirt is, the cooler it is.
I think you can make an argument. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. You disagree with her?
I don't think it looks cool in an old person.
Whether it's cool, here's why it might look cool.
Well, when you have it tucked into your jeans with a braided belt, sure.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And you're going to look like a lush. You're going to look like an over-partier. You look like a loser.
No,
I disagree.
You're a creep. If you wear that, you're a creep crumb lush. And I know a lush when I see one. I've been a lush all my life.
I think you're judging that guy harsher than a kid would. I think a teenager would look at that shirt and be like, that's an awesome shirt.
But yeah, on an old scuzzy man.
But it might be something you can connect over, right? Like that vintage stuff. That
you don't want to hear about. Let me tell you what I was at that concert.
Okay, it's not for me. Look, let's walk down this road that Kimmy throws out there, that the vintage band t-shirt is the only piece of clothing you can have from 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago and still
look cool.
It is a badge of honor. If you saw Foreigner, if you saw Foreigner at the War Memorial in 79 or 85, and you still have that t-shirt you bought that night, it is pretty damn cool, because it's proof that you've been riding with Lou and the crew.
I was there, man.
I mean, it's true, and it is a conversation starter. Maybe not for a guy I work at CMF, so it's different, but you're right. The average 25 to 40-year-old guy, maybe they're not going to be into it. But another guy that's into that band that may have also been at that show, that's followed that career, guys would get jacked about seeing that t-shirt.
Here's what happens when you have something like that.
What?
And you think some guy is going to be thinking you're cool and want to hear all your stories, right?
Yeah.
No. All he wants to do is tell you all the cool concerts he's been to.
Yes, but
he's not even listening to your experiences. It just becomes this old man car alarm of concert talk.
But maybe that is something you're also interested in.
Nobody is interested in old men speaking.
252 WCMF. 252-9263. Kimmy, I'm with you on this one. I think you're right. It's such
because you want to do this because you've got all this jackassery hung up in your closet.
I have no tour t-shirts.
Yes, like, you do.
No authentic tour t-shirts that I got
like
at a concert.
Where you actually bought it the venue.
I thought you bought all this stuff at that crazy-ass flea market.
No,
but you're buying it secondhand. You're not buying it because you were there and you experienced it, right?
Yeah. And again, like I wouldn't buy someone. I'm not going to spend $300 on a vintage tour t-shirt.
$300?
Yeah.
Keep it.
Where have you?
Lou would even buy that.
So you tell men not to keep it, but then when you find out how much it costs, you tell them to keep it. I'm just trying to make sure where are we?
Well, I didn't know it was so much money.
No, but I mean, look, you should be able to wear your vintage band tees until the day you die, no matter how old they are.
But you just look like a dork.
I don't think you do. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. I see you guys trying to get in over there. There are a few things that we will connect ourselves with at a young age and hold for our entire lives.
Yeah.
And a band is one of those things.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know there are bands that come and go that you love and then you kind of get annoyed by, but a band like Foreigner, a band like Zeppelin, a band like the Stones, a band like the Beatles, ones that you, like, latch your identity to, yeah, you should be able to wear that t-shirt.
You should, but I don't think anybody is impressed or cares about your stories anymore or what you did back in the 70s when you were chain-smoking and
I don't think you need to
booze.
Have a story. Like, I think you just, somebody could look at that t-shirt and be like, that's a cool t-shirt. I don't think it has to come with, like, a whole, you know, tail behind it.
And
it's
I think
a simple thing of wearing a cool t-shirt.
No, if the clothing had tails behind it, Tommy would be wearing it to work. Check out my jacket. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Jackie. Hey, Jackie, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
Good. What do you got for us?
We took our kids to see Billy Joel in Chicago this summer, and I pulled out my old t-shirt from early 90s, and my daughter wore it to the concert.
Okay, it would have been cool, but everyone knows River of Dreams sucks.
No, it was before River of Dreams.
Okay, we're okay then, Jackie.
And
I'm sorry,
we're off to the races.
So, but, I mean, people saw it, and they thought it was cool. It was, you know, literally vintage.
Why didn't you wear it, Jackie?
Well, because I'm not 20 anymore.
Oh, you know, yeah, it don't fit,
well,
bro.
So what? It was so it shouldn't fit. It should.
She's
not
sagging in all the wrong places. That poor thing.
Exactly.
Man.
You are so right, Tommy, because gravity sucks.
But I don't know why
you put that on a t-shirt.
No, well, you can't wear it because gravity sucks.
I also wouldn't want my daughter wearing that knowing
why?
What you did in that t-shirt.
Oh, my God.
Jackie.
Why do you always make this creepy?
Oh, you know Jackie had some fun in that t-shirt.
I don't think you have sex in a Billy Joel t-shirt.
You don't think she got felt up at the concert?
Jackie, where you felt up in that Billy Joel t-shirt?
I don't know. That's a long time ago.
That's how bad she was that night. The whole row had a squeeze.
Bro,
what?
To be fair, I was at that concert with my now husband. So...
Oh, so you did get felt up.
Oh, of course he did.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, all right, Jackie. Well, I'm glad you had a good time at both the shows.
I said, daughter, would you want to wear a t-shirt your mother wore to our concert?
Well, she's not
4
thinking of that.
Yeah,
you
mean,
should.
Daughters and mothers are sharing a ton of clothes now. Yeah. Jackie, you can back us up on that.
I mean, her style is what I would have worn when I was her age.
That makes sense. It all came back around again. Yep. Yeah.
So Jackie's cool, man.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Jackie, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Bye-bye. So you said there's nothing from 30, 40 years ago.
I mean, the older you get, the less you're impressed by stuff. It just happens. You get old.
Because, Kimmy, you said you brought
You've
up
seen it.
You brought up the concert tee.
Yeah.
You brought up a second thing that you think guys can wear
Yeah,
forever.
Because you know what? I always thought this was like, my dad has some really cool vintage Chicago Bulls stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, Dad, like this is like, he wears it for comfort. I'm like, Dad, like that's a cool shirt. Like you're wearing something that like kids now would probably pay like $200 for. And my husband said the same thing with his dad. Like his dad has all this vintage Bills stuff and his dad doesn't understand like why my husband would want it or think it's cool. He's like, yeah, you can have that. I don't care.
Yeah, he's not impressed anymore.
But that vintage Bills stuff from the 80s and 90s is selling for money you cannot comprehend. Like those old Super Bowl sweatshirts they used to just sell at Wegmans, right? Like you would pay $10 for them in the 90s.
Yeah.
They're getting over $100 depending on the design of the shirt.
But I see an old man in that. I'm thinking like, You need to do laundry?
I love it.
What's your problem?
When I see that guy, yeah, I love it. It makes me feel
warm.
He
is who he is. You know exactly who that guy is.
And I know exactly what I... Because you know I'm a diehard Bills fan.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And I'm there's more of me's in this town than there are of
you's. I know. Kimmy's the same way.
So when I see a 60-year-old guy in a 1988 Bills AFC East Championship sweatshirt, I know I can have a conversation with that guy that's going deep, and we're both going to have a good time.
Okay.
It's a flag. It is a flag to throw up...
To embrace your manhood.
Like-minded flag.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
No, you disagree?
I don't want to talk to that dude.
No, they don't want to talk to you. It's
good. But by the way, for a guy who's like avoids conversation, all of a sudden you're embracing 60-year-old guy.
When you see
Jersey.
Something unique, I mean, not that I want to. Not that I'll probably strike up a conversation, but it's something I notice.
And yes, that guy I know. I can sit down and have a conversation.
That guy is all over Home Depot on a Saturday. You can have set up a little kiosk in the men's room. They'll all come and talk to you.
If I see that 88 AFC East Bills Championship sweatshirt on a 60-year-old guy, I know that I can sit and have a 20-minute conversation about Jamie Mueller in that offense and whether or not he fit.
He was there, man.
He was there, and I was there, and we have that to bond.
There you go.
By the way, you said there were no concert T-shirts in the 60s. Somebody tweeted us some information. Band T-shirts were sold in the 60s. The popularity of rock bands like the Beatles led to widespread production of wearing shirts.
I didn't think they did merch.
As well, it says the first official band T-shirts are credited to Elvis Presley fan clubs in the 50s.
No,
that doesn't really count, though, because those were like homemade stuff that they wore to the concert.
I'm kind of with Tommy on this. If I walk into a concert,
Write Elvis on their clothing because they loved him so much.
It says official band T-shirts.
What?
You're just like pulling stuff out of your
head. I'm telling you, you go look at those old Vegas shows where these women made like their own outfits to go see
Elvis.
Official
band T-shirts.
Made at home.
Made by fan clubs.
Made officially at home by fan clubs at home.
That woman in Arkansas.
What about vintage dress clothes? Suits, coats, things like that.
Well, those are so out of style.
Yeah, those could date you.
So I bought a suit at a thrift shop that is like very
1970s. But you're a younger person wearing that.
Like, it looks ironic and hip.
Yeah.
On me, it looks like I haven't bought a new suit in 30 years.
No, I mean, look at your jacket. You would have worn that jacket. You would have worn. What are you doing? Jesus Christ Superstar?
I don't know.
A lot of hand movements today.
He's starting it.
Jesus is starting to believe the things they say of you.
Jackets, the musical.
No, but you would have worn exactly that when you were 13.
They didn't make this stuff back then.
My ass. That is. When did you wear shackets?
Shackets just started coming around.
Shackets are relatively new.
No, they're not. I've seen
like
that.
The overshirt. Shirt.
Yeah. The overshirt is new.
Too thin to be a jacket, too thick to be a shirt.
Too cool to be in school.
Shut up, you stupid ass bitch. No, I would argue that if you still have the ability to fit in that suit, that coat, if it's a classic look,
it has to be like a really standard look, though.
No, there's a difference between standard and classic because there are some classic looks that aren't standard, bud.
Well, you can have like the wide lapel suit with like seven buttons.
All of that stuff is cyclical. It all comes back around eventually. Every 20 years, like suits start to look the same as they did 20 years ago. So I think if you can still fit into it, right?
And most guys, that's the other thing. Most guys, I mean, your body goes.
Okay, yes.
It goes.
That's the problem. You're absolutely right. That is a problem. But if you can still squeeze into it and it looks good on you, why can't you have that classic look?
All right.
You're right. If you got rolls coming over places and the jacket looks like it's going to burst at the seams.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, maybe you take it to a tailor. You're going to let out a little bit.
I don't know. They don't even make that fabric anymore. And there ain't no space to let that bitch out.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So we're talking like this. We're doing this talk right here.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There are expectations of you if you are a parent, and some of those expectations are reasonable. I don't know if this one is anymore.
Oh,
because most kids have an activity, they play a sport, and sports are not like they were when we were kids, Kimmy. It is more intense.
You got to commit.
It's way more organized.
Yes. Yeah.
I think it's just
training.
It's almost like you pick a sport and guess what? You're now stuck doing that every weekend for the next 10 years.
And it's not just the kids. Mm. It's the parents. And it's not just the weekends. And that's the problem we have right now.
What's going on?
You're hanging out in the break room. It's just Classic Rock 96.5 to BCMF. We'll jump right into it. As we speak, the three of us in the room are watching my 14-year-old daughter played a hockey game down the street at the Rochester Ice Center in Fairport, because this weekend is the second half of one of the largest girls hockey tournaments in America.
Damn.
That is going on at every rink in the greater Rochester area. This is the one that Eli Manning was at last weekend with his daughter.
Brought a Manning brother to town.
You got it. So it is a Friday. This game started at 8:15, which means every girl that's on the ice right now, unless their school's got off for Diwali, which is today. Happy Diwali, everybody.
Skipping school.
Yep, had to skip school to be here. And the team that they're playing right now is the Boston College Junior Eagles.
Yeah.
14U team. So that means those parents had to take their kids out of school yesterday.
And travel.
And today, and travel here to Rochester. So I am doing my job, obviously, because it's a weekday. But I'm telling you, as my daughter is playing in this game, she is the only kid on that ice that does not have some kind of parental representation at the game. My wife has to work. She's a doctor. She can't get out of here. Yeah. And if I'm not here, what the Lord knows what's going to happen with Tommy if we just leave him to his own devices, right? And it seems it has now been decided that as a parent, if your kid has a game on a Friday or a Monday, you need to take that day off to be there for
your
kid.
But you really don't.
Oh?
You don't.
Oh?
You go to enough of this stuff.
Yeah.
You don't need to be there constantly.
Okay.
I mean, do kids not carpool anymore? Because I remember parents were like, yep, this is your day to take everybody. And that, you know what I mean?
For practice. That'll happen
But you're not my dad who didn't do a goddamn thing. You're jet-assing all over town for these kids.
I also think
you miss a couple of games. Who cares?
There was a point, too, where the kids don't want you there either.
Right.
don't care if you're there.
I know my daughter cares that I'm there. Okay. Because she was giving me crap last night that I wasn't going to be there.
Because she knows it's leverage against you. she's figured you out. So, like, yeah, she's going to do that.
She made sure that I would have the game up on our TV while we were doing the show so I could watch what she does. And I'm going to be honest with you.
What's that?
I feel unbelievably guilty that I am not at this rink watching my daughter play
hockey.
I get
why you would feel guilty, but I think sometimes it's more important to you than it is to her that you're there.
Okay, maybe. I mean, you might be right, because we all played sports as a kid. You had you described your dad as a little overbearing when it came to sports.
Oh, he was a know-it-all.
Well, yeah, but I do know.
That's every day.
Yeah, but we've been there before.
Well, have you?
I've done this. Okay.
You didn't play high school hockey.
I did not. I was out there boxing. But this is not high school hockey. This is 14U.
Okay, but I'm saying, like, you didn't even play at the level she's at right now.
Okay, look, we can do schematics all you want.
Pond
boy hero.
You played a...
Score is zero.
See, you did this.
I'm actually impressed by that.
Shut up!
I like that one. I approve.
The phone number is 252-WCMF. 252-9263.
That's the thing, though. I mean, and when it comes to my dad, when it comes to you, like, your daughter's already playing way more competitive in the sport than you guys ever did, just because of the way these sports have grown, I guess, with kids.
The training your daughter does.
Yeah.
You didn't train like
that.
So,
like, at some point,
she trained
like,
a little harder, maybe they wouldn't be down 3-0.
Nachos after the game.
Just saying, down 3-0. How about a little more training, kid? Skate, back check, for God's sakes.
She knows more than you.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. What are you expected to drop in your life for your kids' sports? Because weekends are one thing, right? Like, sports parents are used to not having a social life. But, like, when real-world stuff, like a job or appointments...
The things that really matter.
Yes. Like, it's now expected that parents, whether your kid plays travel soccer, or baseball, or hockey, or volleyball, or whatever, that if they have a tournament out of town on a Friday, or a game locally on a Monday morning, that you need to not be at work and be there for your kid.
I'm going to tell you something.
Please.
All right. What I'm watching here, this is great, but this should not be right now. There shouldn't be a morning game on a school day for a tournament. These kids shouldn't be missing school for hockey.
I agree with you.
Right?
I agree with you.
So the fact that you're missing this because you got to work, this game shouldn't even be happening.
Okay, here we go. Here comes
I'm just
Tom.
Saying. So I wouldn't feel guilty because they're like trying to jam games in where they shouldn't put games.
Stephanie writes us on Instagram, I agree with you. There's always a parent there and my husband and I fight who gets to go.
It's over parenting.
Okay. Oh, it's not over parenting. I'm trying to be there for my child. And
But you add nothing to the game.
Look, what are you talking about? I add nothing to the game.
You're just gonna sit there and watch the game.
No, I yell. I'm gonna yell.
She can't hear you.
Oh no, they can hear me. I know they can hear me because the other day
because your mouth.
I yelled too many men on the ice and the ref after he heard me made the call. So I affected the game. How you like me now? No, look, man, there are 10,000 people coming through Rochester this weekend for this tournament, right? So don't sit here and say this isn't something that should be happening, because it is happening. Whether or not you like it, it's happening, right? I mean, and like, This isn't the only game she's got today, by the way. If you're someone that works a 9-to-5 job,
yeah.
I mean, I'm fortunate I'm out of here by 10 o'clock if I have to be. Mm. She's got a game at 3 o'clock out in Scottsville. So if I work till 5, I would be missing both games today.
Right.
And I would feel like the world's worst.
And your whole day's tied up. You can't do that.
The whole weekend.
It's impossible.
No, the whole weekend is shot.
Yeah.
Tomorrow
yeah.
morning, she's got a game in Brockport at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And then she'll probably get another game in the afternoon.
Yeah, either that or Sunday. So we'll see how that goes. Look, man, I get not having kids. And this is funny, too, Kimmy. Like, if he lives long enough, which he won't. But if he lives long enough where his grandson starts doing something like this. You will be there because I'm telling you.
I'm flying to Chicago to see a Blackhawk game.
Probably. Yeah.
Junior Blackhawks.
Bro, there's a game. That my daughter, the game they play tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, they're playing the Nashville Junior Predators. That team flew here. There's teams from Florida that flew here. They played a team from Colorado in Pittsburgh 2 weeks ago that flew to the tournament.
It's too much.
Okay.
And I think you put too much pressure on yourself. Like, right now, you're so full of anxiety right now watching this game.
You are. Well, very tense.
The hypertension you're getting at it.
There you go. You can't even get a sentence out before you want to say the next thing.
I don't like the way that you're handling me enjoying my daughter playing.
I'm having
it's hypertension.
Traumatizing flashbacks.
It's not healthy.
I don't say this to her. I say it while I'm watching.
I would say watching one of these games is the equivalent of having two packs of cigarettes.
Shut up.
I will say, I mean, it's got to be a struggle as a parent because you're right.
Like, all right, hold on. She's on an offensive zone face-off. I'm sorry. Hold on.
Are you serious right now?
Well, no, she's got the offense. Look, they haven't had a lot of offensive zone face-offs today. Good win. Come on. Put it on. Okay, sorry. You were saying not great offensive possession.
I was saying, as a parent, it's got to be tough because you're right. School should come first. But you also want to teach your... I mean, you don't want your kid to abandon their team, that you want them to be there because they made a commitment to this thing as well.
You did make a commitment.
It's got to be a tough balance of, like, what's the better lesson for my kid?
I don't know.
My wife is having a really hard time with this whole thing.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Because, like, my wife is a giant old nerd.
And it is a lot of school they're missing in the grand scheme of things,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Your wife didn't know hockey till she met you.
No, she was not a hockey player, yeah. Jamaican women from Delaware that...
Do not follow the NHL
They do not. They do not. Right. So, like, I had to, like, negotiate on behalf of my daughter and give my daughter a heads up 3 weeks ago. Like, look, everything you do in school better be buttoned up because your mother is not going to give you the okay to get this done. And even after she got all her stuff done... I had to go to my wife and be like, look, she held up her end of the deal. Her grades are really good now.
Because your wife wanted her in school.
She wanted her in school. Any minute that my daughter's missed school, my wife is like out of her freaking mind.
But that's great. That's the way it should be.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. We're talking about your expectations as a sports parent and how they've changed from our parents to who we are now. My daughter is, as we speak, playing a hockey game. Why are you with the blue line? What are you doing?
That's terrible.
I hope everybody can hear what we are experiencing.
She's a cent.
And we have been for the last 10 minutes.
All I'm saying is the kid plays. She can play. She's tough, right? But just keep yourself in the play. That's all I'm saying. You're taking yourself out of the play.
So you got to stay in the play, baby.
She's playing right now. I'm telling you because my wife has to work today and I have to make sure that Tommy doesn't get us fired. She is the only kid without parental representation at this game. And there is a product that exists just for this.
Yeah.
We are watching
the game. What a great idea, man. This Live Barn guy, whoever he is, he's got to be a gazillionaire.
So most hockey rinks in America have these cameras set up.
It's Live Barn guy.
It's called, Dave Live Barn. It's called Live Barn, and for $15 a month, I pay to have access to every rink that my daughter can play on.
And you said this is global, right?
Yes, it goes wherever they put the camera up, it's good to go. Canada, U.S., Mexico, there's some in
Europe.
I want
to see this dude's yacht.
Whoever had this idea is making a gajillion dollars.
That's what I'm saying.
Because, I mean, and it's great. Like, the camera follows the puck.
Yeah.
It's like an NHL broadcast.
Yeah, they must have somebody
working. It's not like an NHL broadcast. It's okay.
I'm saying it's not like the old camcorders we had of, like, the 100 yards on the football
field. I mean, it's one oscillating camera.
Okay, I'm sorry.
That's good.
Spielberg.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I could go for a three-camera shoot, personally.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Larry. Hey, Larry, how are you, buddy?
Absolutely wonderful. You know, you should play the system. You should have called in this morning, said that you had to stay home because your dog's having a panic attack and you can't be at the game.
No, because then somebody would have saw me out in Fairport at the Rochester Ice Center and be like, I guess she's going to work today.
Hey,
Larry, you got kids that play sports, bud?
They're grown up, but yes, and I was at every game I could possibly be at.
I mean, will you explain to Tommy
that you get no credit for it anyway.
No, I think you do when the kids get older. And if you could, Larry, if you wouldn't mind explaining the feeling of guilt of those games that you couldn't make it to when your kids were when you had to ask them afterwards.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Definitely guilty. And then you realize that you have to realize that you know, the kids are going to grow up
He's
like
right.
my kids are now. And it's like, man, I don't want to feel that guilt for the rest of my life because I had to work and I couldn't go to the game, especially something this important.
It's not that important.
Damn it, they just scored again.
This kid's going to play 5 games this weekend. It's not that important.
No, but to Larry's point, I had a realization as they were finishing up school last year. Mm. Like, my daughter, my oldest, is going into high school. She is in high school. She's a freshman this year. My youngest is a 7th grader.
So they're coming up quick.
Yeah, so my youngest just started playing tennis this year for school. Mm. My daughter's been playing hockey forever. And I realized, Larry, that I've only got 4 years left of my oldest playing hockey.
No,
and then
it does go by fast.
6 years left of my youngest doing all the stuff that she does. And I don't want to miss a second of it because I know that when it's over, my wife and I had this discussion at the rink the other day. And I go, I think I'm going to be that guy that goes to the hockey rink at 8 o'clock in the morning and just stares at the little 5-year-olds that just started playing hockey and go,
can we just see in the news?
I remember back in the day, you know, hey, they grow up quick. They grow up too quick.
Yeah, but here's the problem. You all don't enjoy the journey.
Because that's what Pat's saying. He's trying to enjoy the journey.
No, he's not, because he's so riddled with anxiety. He's so riddled with guilt right now. He can't even enjoy what he's got here, which is a phenomenal technology that didn't exist 100 years ago.
I can't.
You're not relaxed, so you're not enjoying what you're watching because you're all so guilt-ridden.
Larry, we're back. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Larry. Go ahead.
Larry's full of guilt.
No, I wasn't saying anything.
Okay, talking, you lush.
Larry can back me up on this before we let Larry go, right? The thing that hurts today is, you're right, I get to watch my daughter play.
This
technology
is amazing.
Is amazing, yes. But I can't, when she's walking out of the dressing room with her bag and her sticks, put my arm around her and go, you played great today.
Right.
How did you feel out there? And that's the most important part of all of
this. Shrug off your arm anyways.
She does.
Dad, come on.
Yeah. But I'm trying.
Oh, yeah.
But she doesn't need that every time.
Larry, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it.
Have a good day.
Hey, you were saying?
She doesn't need it every time.
Maybe she does. Maybe she does. I don't know. I don't know what it's like to be a 14-year-old girl. I don't. I know what it's like to be a 14-year-old boy. I know what it felt like when my dad, when I was playing Vince Lombardi football, would go to Bills games and send my aunt to take me to those games. I remember that.
Yeah, but at least you had some burly arm around you. I've seen your aunt.
How dare? No, what are you talking about? My aunt is a fine, petite woman.
You got some thick aunts, bro.
What are you talking about?
I had thick hands too, but I bless some big, sturdy Auburn woman.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. We got Facebook messages coming in as we're watching my daughter on our big TV playing a hockey tournament down the street.
That's
in Fairport
cool.
That I can't be in. This comes in from Jake. Jake writes us, I have a 7-year-old son that started playing baseball. My wife signed him up for travel tryouts at 7, which I thought was extreme. I had no idea the commitment we would have to make that bled into the school year. I'm with Duffy, though. If you miss a game, you beat yourself up for it for a long time.
I will say, baseball, going to Little League games is the worst.
I would stop saying all of this out loud.
It goes on forever.
Yep. Okay. We got to take a break because my daughter's about to take a defensive face-off. And so help me God, if she doesn't bend her knees and tries to win if she tries to win this with her lower back, I'm going to break that television. Bend your knees. All you got to do is bend your knees.
Yeah, you're having a good journey here.
Are you annoyed? Are you guys annoyed?
No. I actually think this is kind of cool.
Oh, good for you.
You know, it's
it would be
not
cool
enjoyable
to watch it in silence.
Yes.
Puck's out of the zone. Ah, damn it. All right. We're going to talk about a bunch of liars.
Mm.
We have a survey in front of us.
Yeah.
If I were to ask you how many minutes you are willing to wait for food at a restaurant before you get annoyed, how many minutes do you say the average American would be willing to wait?
Less than 10.
Okay, Kimmy, would you like to take a shot how many minutes it takes before the average American is annoyed waiting for food at a restaurant?
25 minutes, okay. Just
25.
Under a half hour.
Okay, so we're saying sit down. Would you like to change?
Oh, no, I stick with mine.
Okay.
Because you're not going to get up and walk after 20 minutes.
No, but that's not the question. When do I start getting annoyed?
Okay.
Kimmy wins The Price is Right without going over. 29 minutes.
Oh, they are so full of 30 minutes.
Because if it's 30 minutes, now you have like a marker in your head. Like, okay, we're getting into territory where is there something wrong with my order? Like, and then you start to look around the table and think who to blame, like whose order is taking
the longest. Also had that parade of delicious food going past you
non-stop,
which means it's going to lower that time.
So they say 29 minutes from seating to food on the plate, and they break it down even further. Mm. And this is the funniest part. The average American said they would be fine waiting 13 minutes for their waiter to arrive to take their order.
Oh, what are you, in Europe? Where they throw
minutes.
The menu at you?
Okay, is that what they do in Europe? They throw menus
They throw
at
everything
you?
At the American.
They then say from that point on, you are okay waiting at least maximum 17 minutes for your food to arrive from being ordered. And that gets you your 29.
So I'm going to sit down at a table, and nobody's going to interact with me basically for 13 minutes.
Yes, and people
like not come up and go, water, drinks, what?
I mean,
nothing.
It does say take your order, so I guess.
Because usually once they come up,
they'll
take your order.
Say hi, or I'll get to you. Or,
yeah.
Because the first thing you're going to do is get water unless you want something from the bar.
Sure, sure, sure. So you're saying you agree with me, everyone's full of crap here.
I would be pissed off if I'm going to wait 13 effing minutes before I get a drink.
He would be so mad, he would think about maybe possibly saying something sometime in the future if he had ever gone back.
I would be annoyed.
You are. You wouldn't do nothing.
No, right? But that's not your question.
He was a bitch.
You saying, when am I annoyed?
Yeah, no, but you're annoyed the second you
I'm
walk
annoyed
into
right
the
now.
Place.
I don't like this live barn anymore.
So here's the funniest part of this story. You ready? So at a sit-down restaurant, the average American says they are willing to wait 29 minutes for their food.
Mm.
That being said, that 29 minutes before you're annoyed for your food also counts for delivery.
Delivery?
Yes. So whether they are walking the food from the kitchen to the table or driving it from across town, we have a maximum wait
That's
of 29
weird.
Minutes before we get annoyed.
I always thought when you do delivery, you have to give yourself at least an hour. And that's why I don't do delivery. It's not because of the extra cost for delivery. It's like, I just want my food now.
Well, like pizza, 30 to 45 minutes is usually the time. But if you do DoorDash or Uber Eats or something, you're right. You're waiting minimum an hour. You're waiting an hour.
And that makes sense.
Sure. I mean, it's
understandable. That's an understandable delay.
Absolutely. I know we don't have, but I would love to have, what the fast food number is.
Oh, it's got to be minuscule. Yeah.
Right? Because, like, I'm trying to...
you're supposed to be fast with the food.
Well, we talked the other day. Remember, there was that story in Webster of that couple that were so upset they got their sauces forgotten that they got out of the car and started allegedly assaulting the staff. Turns out that both of them were drunk, according to police, and there was a kid in the car. Really great situation. Yeah. Really great situation. But I don't think we understand how quickly that food comes out when you're waiting in line at McDonald's or Wendy's.
It's immediate.
Because if you told somebody, hey, I'll get you food in 5 minutes, you'd be like, that sounds really great.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's 90 seconds and you don't have that cheeseburger and fries yet, you're like, what the hell's going on?
Especially if you're seeing other orders go out before you and you know they ordered after you.
Yeah, we have no semblance of time when we're waiting for that hot food coming through.
Because when you say like fast food, generally speaking, I'm going to be... going in my, I mean, I'm in my car, but in physical store.
You keep saying that. Way more people than you think sit down inside
really?
Fast
Where
food.
Are they? I don't see them. I see
inside
a line
the restaurants?
Out there.
Inside the restaurants.
They're all sitting around a McDonald's.
Hello. How many times do we have to
lingering
have this conversation?
Over my fries.
I love sitting.
You're either an eat-in store fast food person, or you never do it and you take it to
Why
go
Why would I go
eat.
In there?
Oh, like my husband's a big eat-in McDonald's guy.
You're
it's really annoying.
You were taking it home because it's cold by the time I get
no,
at the
front
door.
No, I eat in the car.
I eat in the car. I eat in the car. My fried fennel that I get. Very delicious. You're doing me, doing you, doing me.
Yeah, I get it.
Preception?
I know what's going on here.
All right, so I guess the moral of the story is, one, don't be a liar.
Hurry up.
Because you lied. Yes. Two, be more patient. These people are
It's hard.
They're handling your food, bro. Yeah,
I will say this. Off. If the place is slammed and everybody's hustling, it may take you down a notch. But if it's kind of slow in there and they drag
it, sometimes when it does take the longest because maybe they're short staffed or something.
Or if you're up talking to the bartender about what you're doing that night, or where you're gonna go score your weed after work,
or who
nailed who last night after the shift. Come on, let's go.
All right.
Get the cocktails out.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.